Welcome back to another episode of Sight to the Blonde podcast. Like I said before, the whole Rihanna ASAP Rocky cheating scandal was going to be a ritual, and it was a short-lived ritual at that. The only thing that came out of that was that you knew who the fashion designer was. Now you went to her page, or you went to her Twitter, you went to her Instagram to find out what she said or what she's going to say, and we'll see if you can find the story in between her posts. Then to find out the story is fake. So then you came in, you went over there to see if you could hate her, and then you end up like, oh, okay, she's cool. Then you get, oh, okay, she's cool. That's the only thing that came, the two things that came out of that whole ritual was, one, it was kind of a mockery of Easter weekend, which is a satanic ritual anyway. It was mocking Easter weekend. It was to get everybody and women to get on this feminist train of men ain't shit, which is what, you know, non-player character females all do. Even some of the gay and feminine males, they get into this, oh, if Rihanna and Beyonce get cheated on, there's no hope for any of us, because we live in a world where people who really are, you know, born in vain, their only keys to life is to see if they can become famous or memorable or quotable if they show some type of worship to their favorite celebrity. It's a pathetic way to live. Everybody wants to be funny and jokey. Everybody wants to be a clown in this matrix because they see that's what makes you successful, is having something funny to say, something maybe half truthful, a worship of a certain celebrity or an idol, and then you get your followers that way. That has been it's been the same PSYOP program. It's the same rituals they've been doing since the beginning of time. How can you worship a certain god if you don't have idiots and morons and non-player characters to offer their lives, offer their souls in worshiping something that doesn't live or breathe? And nowadays, because Satan was smart enough to make his idols and his role model, his idols and his celebrities flesh, his gods made of flesh, then you can relate to something better than stone, marble, and something that you had to work with your hands with. Now you just see what's placed in front of you and say, this is the image that you should worship. And that means you should want to relate to this person, and their stories are your stories, and your stories is their stories because they sing about your stories, which is the most furthest from the truth nonsense that you'll ever understand when it comes to celebrities' lives. They pretend that they're one of the people. They pretend that they, after a long while of being in a cult, that they can relate to you. These people give up their spiritual and physical freedom to get you to believe in them, only for them to turn their sins on you, and then you suffer the consequences. Because obviously these people are rich. They can afford, you know, I mean, these people can afford meeting different partners and dating different people and going through rituals and sacrificing their sexuality and sacrificing their relatives and each other, their families, their children. They can do all this and be protected because they have a system. They have people around them that protect them. Like, imagine if you had a house and all you did in that house was sin and multiply sins and multiply sins and do all the weird stuff and sins, and you stay in your house. You're kind of, I'm saying you're safe from judging, because the Most High can just send a bomb or can shake your house and it falls. But they play it very, very safe when it comes to their sins. Very safe. Because they are scared. See, demons that inhabitate them or control them or use them as avatars, even demons are scared that they know they can't be controlled. They can't be totally destructive and chaotic. Because then if they make themselves known in a very wild and weird way, they know destruction is coming right. They're in fear of the Most High. They're in fear of judgment. They know that. Like that scripture that says, you know, even demons shake and tremble because they know the glory and the magnificence of the Most High. That's why these celebrities roll with such big groups. That's why everything they do is very cataloged and in certain places, because they're so scared of judgment touching them. They think their God is Satan. So they think if I don't promote Satanism, if I don't go hard and use my influence to promote a satanic agenda, they think Satan's going to destroy them, based on them not worshiping. So that's why a lot of celebrities get out there and do the whole satanic okay symbol, the devil horns, and they stick their tongues out, and they do it all the time. That's because they're new in it, and they're scared to death that they are going to be not needed anymore if they don't get everybody on that bandwagon of doing the okay symbol and the devil horns. That's the whole point of that. But they want you to relate to them. And then when you promote and do the same sins that they do, you get destroyed because you're not one of them. Like, Satan was given this world to do as he as he wants. And people that belong to him, he can do whatever he wants to the people that belong to him. You guys don't belong to them. Some of you don't get it. You want to belong to this world. You don't belong to them. You just don't. You should want to separate yourself and not belong to them. Because once you try to do what they do, once you try to raise your children like they raise their children, once you try to idolize and how to do their relationships based on what you see on social media and Twitter and all these blog sites and these e-channels and all that, once you try to do that, it would destroy you because you don't have a spirit set up to be in that system. You just don't. You haven't sacrificed. You haven't done any blood rituals. You haven't offered your sexuality. You have done nothing to make you successful in that system. So when you try to do it, you fail miserably. Then you get to blame it. If you're a man, you get to blame in women. If you're a woman, you get to blame man. Instead of taking the accountability on yourself. You should be the Most High in the scriptures and the Torah should be your guiding light. Always. Look at the verse says you shouldn't lean not on your own understanding. And I have trouble understanding that too. Because I constantly battle with trying to lean on my own understandings of where I should be in my life. Sometimes you have to surrender. And a lot of people are scared to do that. Especially when it comes to relationships. You are scared to, because you think that your partner, whatever, or the system that you're trying to leave, that you're trying to go into another system that's bound to control you. And I hate keep speaking about women because I don't want to. It makes it seem like I'm hating women or I have a problem with women. I don't. It's just, this is the time period where you guys have a decision to make. It's not really the men. Women, you have a decision to make. It's either you take from that false light of knowledge, from their tree of knowledge, or you accept the Torah. If you want to be protected, and I say this because it isn't men going around saying, hey, men, protect the men. Even when you see black men get shot by police, every other month, or you see people dying every other month, or from mass shootings, no one says, hey, we got to protect men. Hey, we got to protect these children. It's been about women. It's been about we have to protect women. We have to respect women. And this is not based on the Torah. It's based on a worldly living. You want, because you should know this demonic atmosphere, you want to be protected from your own sins. Because you've been following the celebrities, you want to be protected from your own karma. Because they have a system set up that protects them a little bit from their karma. You don't. They're in a religious system that they're protected based on the sins that you are trying to emulate in your own household, and multiplying sins in your own household is not good. Because then you are not protected. There is no hedge about you. So then what happens is you gravitate partners into your life that are set up to destroy you, to bring you back out of that system. Some of you get partners and be like, oh, this partner did me dirty. And then you find another person that's just like them 2 months later. Then you go through that. And then you don't find out that you don't understand that the problem is you. It's who you worship. It's who you idolize. It's what you listen to. You bring those doctrines into your house. And then you'll be like, oh, this is not working for me. It got to be the man. So let me go lesbian then, because that's popular. Then you find out that you're not built for that life neither. So then I hate to see this about my people. See, even people I care about and love, I hate watching y'all go hit every branch down until you find the Most High. It's not, it shouldn't be that hard. It really shouldn't be. It should not be hard to say, you know what, I got to work on being accountable for the people I let in my life, because it was, because the people that were in my life was a reflection of my sins, reflection of the choices I made. That's it. You don't have to drop 20 branches and hit the ground. Hit hard concrete for you to understand that. I'm trying to save you guys from really experiencing rock bottom, because it's going to come to a time you won't have time to hit rock bottom, to stay there, to build a home, to, you know, have an outhouse, you know, to cook and have a barbecue grill in rock bottom and be like, okay, now I'm done being here. Let me return to the Most High. I'm telling you, it's, I sense it. You're not going to have time to do that. You're going to get caught in the middle of your journey, and then you're going to feel most of that wrath because you haven't fully left this world. You haven't fully came into your blessings, and a hedge isn't really strong, and you haven't really protected yourself because you're still working on yourself. I'm trying to get you to hit that learning curve. To all of it, it comes down to you being accountable to for yourselves and what you bring into you. And this is what the whole rituals of that of Easter weekend was. Besides the blood sacrifices, I'll get into that later. But it was about men, like Harry Styles got up on Coachella stage and said, men are trash. For what? What was his point of that? He not dating men, so how would he know? He said a blanket statement that was going to pique feminist ears. Because he's with women who have been cheated. And so, like I said before, celebrity, they always show you celebrities getting cheated on, you know, marrying other people, and they cheating on them. That's what you see as an image. So then you relate to, like, oh, because I've been cheated on. Why you been cheated on? Because you picked a partner based on your lust, not based on scripture, not based on what the Most High want for you, not based on the Torah. So you got what you get. You reap what you sowed. Your partners was based on what you wanted at that moment. And we all been through it. I'm not saying nothing. I'm not telling you nothing that I haven't done and done it worse than you. Like I said before, I'm a man that you, I am that person that has to touch the stove 4 or 5 times to see how hot it can be until I can withstand the total flame. That was always me. The whole thing about, oh, you don't have to eat the donut to know it's sweet. I need to eat 4 or 5 donuts and 6 other donuts just like it to find out how sweet it is before my teeth fall out. I was just that person. So I'm trying to at least alleviate some of that situation or experience on you so you can understand that you have to be accountable for what you bring into your life. You're not protected the same way these celebrities are protected. That's why they can get up there and say, oh, men are trash, men are this. They say all this stuff to divide y'all up while they go home and get their backs blown out by the people that cheated on them. They do the same thing we do, almost we do, except they don't have no laws and rules to what they do. They can date somebody for 4 or 5 months, get married, cheat on them, and go back to them like that. Look at Jennifer Lopez. All her thing is, she's a ritual of how to mock a wedding ceremony or how to mock marriage. And they just get like that. She came out with a movie. If you ever believed that her and the Owens would ever date each other, let alone marry each other. I mean, they do that with Jennifer Lopez all her career. It's to set her up with white men to make her look white or appear white or acceptable to white people. You rarely ever see her do a movie, the same movies she should be doing about relationships and marriages and being a maid in Manhattan and all that. You never see her end up with a black man. The only time you really ever seen that was when she did that movie with Wesley Snipes and Woody Harrelson called Money Train. So, like I said, people look at these images and these idols and be like, oh, this is what I should be. It don't work. Oh, then it's the man's fault. It's the men are trash. Then it was like women. Oh, women are trash. Women are heathens and all that. And I hate to jump on women, but it's just, this is where we are right now. This is y'all's time to shine. You have to, you make a decision on what you want to do. You either take that false light, take that false knowledge, that false fruit off the tree, or you can come to the Torah and be at peace. But that's what this whole Easter weekend ritual was about. It was about how can they mock the crucifixion, which is, if you go through scripture, there is no third Sunday in April in scripture. There is no first month, 17th day in scripture. There is no feast of the crucifixion. The Israelites didn't even celebrate their birthdays. The Israelites didn't even celebrate the crucifixion. You can't find scripture and say, oh, the Israelites sat around the table and remembered the crucifixion. Why would they remember something that obviously the most high son defeated? We celebrate the death. And then the 2-3 days, oh, he rose. But they turned that into their sun god. That's what the Easter thing comes from. It's the movement of the sun. I said this before when I talked about the Egyptians and what they worship, like Horus and Set. It comes from the movement of the sun. That's why so many civilizations outside of America and Rome almost have the same exact sun god dedicated to the movement of the sun, of how it rises and sets based on coming from the winter into the spring equinox. That's all it is. Like, this has been going on before Yahushua even came into existence. Mithra. Let me start with Babylon. In Babylon, it was Tammuz. He had the same storyline. Died, rebirth. Then it was Mithra. Dionysus. Helios Christos, where you really get the name Christ. And all of these sun gods were born on December 25th. Why? Because that's the movement of the sun. And then their resurrection is, oh, because the sun, it gets hotter, it gets warmer, it's the spring. A lot of it was built on that. That's why the Most High was very smart about not putting dates, specific dates, in any of scripture except for Passover. That's why the Most High had a separate calendar, that so that the heathens couldn't use that calendar to pervert it. That's why I say, always say, come up off this Gregorian calendar. And I don't know how many times I'm going to tell, I don't even say anything anymore to the awakened Israelites because they're so stuck in their ways. Just like that chart, that 12 tribes chart. So you're going to try to tell me, because it's brown people spread out, that you automatically assume that these 12 tribes are from different variations of brown-skinned or black-skinned people. Like, there is no scripture that proves that each tribe went into these specific countries. There is none. And you don't understand, Esau spread out all over this world. But so did the Hamites. If you look through their religious rituals themselves, of how the Hamites and long ago would put bones and stuff in their faces. If you go into Aztec, if you go into like early Aztecs and those people, like the modern day Mexicans and Native Americans, if you even look at them, they resemble Hamites. Some of their religious practices are Hamitic practices. Putting stuff in your faces, tattooing your faces and all stuff. Where do you think that comes from? It comes from the Egyptians. It comes from the Hamites. Like Japheth and his children stayed up in the cold climate. They stayed up way up north and kind of mingled. And then, the sons of Japheth kind of mingled down into Italy and all that. But that's where their bloodline comes from. So you're going to try to tell me that light-skinned Mexicans, Brazilians, and Latin, and some parts of Latin America are the Israelites, when the fathers of their fathers were Europeans? That makes no sense to me. Only the Most High knows exactly where those tribes are. And I'm guarantee you, all of those tribes are going to be 100% black. Because if the Most High was against intermixing, even with the Hamites, even with the Canaanites, what makes you think that he's going to be accepting to the 12 tribes chart based on how the European bloodline flowed through all of South America and the brown countries. I mean, all I'm saying is that's why I don't get into these arguments about these camps and all that, because these camps are set up where one person, they all agree. It's like a camp of what, 5 or 6 or 7 people, and they all have to agree on one specific doctrine, and then they go teach this doctrine on the street. That means no one really in between individually learns anything. They're all kept at the same level of learning, of spirituality. They're still talking about this 12 tribes chart. They're trying to beat this chart into everybody's hand to get everybody involved and to water down our nation. And they never get into Book of Deuteronomy where it says, do not mingle, do not intermarry, do not give your chance. And then all of a sudden that goes out the window and say, oh yeah, here, the Argentinians are one of the tribes, or the Native Americans are one of the tribes. When none of them have any type of even a little bit of Hebrew heritage attached to their nation. All those Native Americans, they worship with the same thing as the Egyptians were worshiping. Weren't they worshiping birds, the sky, the sun? What do you think Native Americans worship? You never heard anybody, no Native Americans say they were Yahuwah and the Most High, and you don't even see them pictured in scripture anywhere, really. But you see how they are. You see their nation based on how they worship and how they worship their gods. Even most of us who grew up Christian, our foundation, whether we ran from him or not, our foundation was still God. Even when we didn't know who we were, our foundation was God. The Native Americans, their foundation wasn't God. It was the birds. It was the bees. It was trees. It was the wind. It was animals. That's what they were worshiping. Just like the Egyptians worshiped the apex bull. It's the same people. That's why somebody wanted me to speak on the 12 charge tribe, but I don't go into it. It doesn't make any sense. Only the Most High knows where everybody's spread out. But to go back to Easter, and you know, all these Jesus freaks that pop up during, especially performative Christians that pop up during these Easter rituals, act like, oh, we're saved. We're saved, everybody. We don't have to do anything. We're saved. Jesus died for us. And this is the problem with not knowing what the Bible and the scriptures are about. In the book of Genesis, Yahuwah told Abraham, your children will be slaves as bondmen and bondwomen in a country they knew not for 400 years. He told Abraham this before Yahusha even walked this earth, before he even became a man. Yahuwah told Abraham his descendants were going to be slaves. Okay? Yahusha born. Ministry. Crucifixion. Risen. Ascension. The Israelites still went into captivity to America and all the other countries spread out after this has already been happening, already took place. So where do these people get this, oh, once we're saved, we're always saved? Where do people get this, oh, I'm saved because he died? Then what, how does that explain us? Wouldn't you think that if that meant that we were saved based on Yahushua's crucifixion and rising and ascension, if that's all he had to do, then why did your ancestors and forefathers go into captivity then? Why did they reach their last captivity if Yahushua dying for sins was supposed to complete and save everybody? But I think people know this, but most of the information you listening to, especially when it comes to church, religion, and the government, comes from Freemasons. Comes from people who got to go to college and school to teach you what you shouldn't know. That's why all these politicians, like white Twitterism is just funny. That's why a lot of these evangelicals, these Republican, Democratic evangelicals, every Easter ritual, they come out like, oh, Matthew 28 this, and Matthew and John this, he has risen, he got up, the black version, he got up. And everybody's walking around saying it and mocking it and don't know what they're talking about. Oh, we're all saved. Everybody's saved now. All lives matter. Jesus said all lives matter. I pulled out scriptures and showed that it don't, not everybody lives matter. And I'm sorry. I wish my tone was a little bit more easy on y'all so you wouldn't be confronting me. Like, felt like I'm confronting you by the way I talk. I can't help this. My father talked to me this way. And in turn, I grew up with his voice. And the way I talk came from him. So I'm not going to pep talk you with scriptures. That's not what I do. It's so many other Instagram pages like Reformed by Christ, all these other pages like AOC, all these Instagrams and Twitters and politicians, they all say the same noise. They say the same white noise, same background noise. Jesus did this. Jesus saved us. Jesus did this. We're all saved. Once saved, always saved. And everybody's promoting the same doctrine. And no one's talking about the children of the book. No one's talking about the stories. Everybody goes to Mark, Matthew, Luke, and John, and that's all you hear out of these government religions. You don't hear nothing else. You strictly hear New Testament as if any of the books don't matter. And that's what Christians, performative Christians as well, base their whole meat of their spirituality on, Mark, Matthew, Luke, and John. Jesus said, and they're changing different words. I can already tell you they changing different variations of the words in the King James Version and online versions to fit a new world religion. And that's what they want. That's why they bring in Coachella on Easter weekend. That's why they sacrifice celebrities on these weekends, like DJ K Slay died on Easter Day at 55. 55 in Gematria is Satan. He died from complications of COVID-19. Yeah, all right. Everybody else beating this, I've had it 3 times. He went to the hospital for it in January. Obviously, he got better and he left the hospital. How do you get complications for 4 or 5 months from COVID? Makes no sense to me. A glorified cold virus. How do you get COVID-19 in January or February, go to the hospital, and then we get to April, all of a sudden you die from complications from it? It makes no sense to, and a lot of you know, understand this too. It makes no sense. He was sacrificed. He was ritualized because that's what they do. It's a satanic ritual during this weekend. It is to mock. It is to mock the crucifixion. Like, oh, the only begotten son was crucified. So, all right, so let's crucify our celebrities because those are our only begotten sons. And DJ K Slay was the man that came up. He's the man that they offered. It should be funny. It should be a lot as far as eye awakening. It should, or heart stoppage. It should waken a lot of you Black Americans up because they clipping y'all like it clipping us like it ain't nothing. And it ain't really them doing it. It's people who offered themselves into their own lust, offered themselves into their own sin, and they were offering themselves to be ritualized. Like Haskins Jr., the football player. Look at his Instagram, look at his fiance's Instagram. They were participating in Valentine's Day and all these other rituals and these pagan rituals. So you get dealt with like a pagan. You get ritualized and sacrificed like a pagan. DJ K Slay made a killing of just running his mouth, talking loud and talking crazy and cursing online, on cursing on air and cursing on records and music videos. But he got ritualized because he lived by the same laws. Now his family come out, oh, please give us a moment of privacy to deal with this. But nobody care about DJ K Slay. White folk don't even know who DJ K Slay is. Oh, we should please give us, you know, some privacy as we deal with this matter. No one cares. He was a ritual, and you don't want people to know he was a ritual or a sacrifice. So you try to act like, oh, don't ask them about what happened and how he was found dead. Because they don't even tell you how he was found. They just said he died from complications. Would he die in his sleep? Was he at the studio and died and keeled over? Was he found dead? Who found him? You don't even hear it. You don't even hear that story anymore. You don't even hear the meat of the story, the details. Like, how was he found? And this is coming from a generation that likes seeing death everywhere. I'm surprised no one showed up, took a picture of him and said, hey, we found him like this. You don't even see that. Remember when Chris Farley died? Oh, they ran it forever with that picture of him laid out on the floor, you know, knocked out with snot and blood coming out of his nose and his mouth. They ran that forever. All of a sudden, they get to these celebrities that they're popping off one by one. You barely see body bags. You barely say, hey, this is how we was found. They just accept, they expect y'all to accept anything. But like I said, I watched a video. It was a family. I don't know if they're waiting at a taxi stand or what, but they were waiting, and some guy comes up behind and shoots. I'm assuming it was the father. It shoots another man in the back of his head. Now, he was with his family. He was with one man, a woman, and some children. And man gets just popped in the back of his head, falls down. This is on Twitter. He falls down. The guy walks up to him again, shoots him two or three times, point blank. You just see the body bounce off the pavement of the shots. The women run. I mean, the women take off running. They leave not even a year old. They leave a baby with two bags in that child's hand to fend for himself right next to the gunman. Right next to the gunman. They left this baby, didn't know where, they just left this child while this man is getting shot on the ground. I want you to think about that. Because if you actually find the video and find the story, you'll read the timeline of everybody trying to make it easy for the mother to be saved in this scenario. That, oh, it's understandable. It was a fight or flight response. So your fight or flight response is to run and leave your child with bags in his hand, a little child with bags in their hand, while a man is standing over top of his father, shooting him point blank range. And this is where it comes in. This is why I have the utmost problem with this protect women, respect women, and all this foolishness. Because you want me to protect you from your own karma. You want me to protect you from what you did. You're for not being accountable. Now, how is this woman at fault? How is this mother at fault besides leaving her child while a gunman shot bullets into her man? Well, how did this man get in this position? Or how did this baby get in this position? Let's start there. This woman had to open her legs to a man she knew had this type of energy in him. She knew exactly what this man was capable of bringing into her household. Because she made a conscious decision based on whatever image, whatever lustful pictures, whatever ideals of a real relationship she probably got from social media. So she thought, oh, this gun running thug mentality, this trap feminism is for me. And she brought this man into her home, multiplying her sins. And after that, she brought in a child. Now, she probably thought in her own ignorance, there's no way in the world another man is going to run up on my man and shoot and kill him. She never thought that. She never thought these demons She never thought these demons were going to just obliterate her whole household in one night. She never thought that. She never thought there's consequences to her actions. Spiritual consequences too. But I'm supposed to protect and respect women like this. She didn't pick her man based on the Torah. She didn't pick him based on his spiritual values. She picked them based on the flesh. So when this man gets shot in the middle of the night while they're waiting for a taxi, The first thing she thought to do was save herself. And this is the problem with this generation. The selfishness. And the excuses that back up the selfishness to the problems with accountability in particularly Black America. I told you about the story last episode about a woman who called the police because she chained her kids to the bed, said she didn't want them anymore. It's the selfishness. But no one's speaking on it. No one's making it an agenda. Why? Because we're on this ritual of the men ain't shit generation. The men ain't shit doctrine. That's where we are right now. I'm not going to defend Torahless men either. I'm not going to defend lawless men either. Because they get what they get. They get what they deserve. That man that got shot in the back of his head, he had chances to go to the Most High. He had chances to live a basic life. He made that decision to bring judgment to him. He made that decision to not build up a hedge around him. It's not just this government that's going to try to kill you. It's not these elites and these one percenters that are trying to kill you. It's people you walk around with every single day. There's people that know you don't even know hate you. And the only thing that's keeping them from breaching that hedge is the fact that you live in a good life. That you're trying to follow these laws, statutes, commandments. Even people who follow man's laws aren't totally protected. How many times have you seen stories of just innocent bystanders get a bullet through their head? Just walking. People who are really good-hearted people. But like I said, if you do not have within you these laws, statutes, commandments, if you do not try to narrow your broad ways to build up a hedge about you, then you're going to suffer the consequences of your actions. You really can't blame nobody but yourself. And the problem with this media, these glorifying of these couples and celebrities and their relationships, is that you think you can do them. Because you want to be followed. You want to have admirers. I get it. You want to be liked. You want to be popular. This is like high school. Social media is like the biggest high school ever. Everybody wants to be East Side High up in here. And you know, you need to be shaken. You need to be shook. You need a Joe Clark to come in and be like, yo, this is what y'all need to start doing. If you want to be protected, if you don't want your hedge breached, this is what you need to start doing. And it starts with being accountable for your decisions. That comes from relationships. You cannot move on unless you accept the fact that you made this decision to decide your partner based on flesh. You have to make that. You have to accept that. Regardless of what they did to you, regardless of what they did to you, you still allowed your understanding of what a relationship is based on your lusts, based on your flesh, and not in spirit. So you got what you reap what you sowed. You got what you get. Or you get what you got. Both of them. Once you start there, really, everything else is downhill. Following these laws, statutes, commandments, easy. It really is. Once you detach yourself from lust, or try to, or once you detach yourself a little bit, it becomes easier. Trust me, it does. I know a lot of my episodes always talk about, oh, if you don't do this, you know, judgment's going to come, da-da-da-da-da. Like, I don't want to be a doom and gloom, but I like being a doom and gloom. But I also need to tell you that I love the dark sides of scriptures. Not saying that trying to find the satanic versions, but I'm saying the dark side of parables, like in which is mentioned in the Wisdom of Solomon, verse 1. But he that gives his mind to the Torah of the Most High and is occupied in the meditation thereof will seek out the wisdom of all the ancient and be occupied in prophecies. He will guard the sayings of the renowned men, and where subtle parables are, he will be there also. He will seek out the secrets of grave sentences and be conversant in dark parables. He shall serve among great men and appear before princes. He will travel through strange countries, for he has tried the good and the evil among men. He will give his heart to resort early to Yahuwah that made him, and will pray before the Most High, and will open his mouth in prayer and make supplication for his sins. When the great Yahuwah will, he shall be filled with the Ruach Binyah, which is the Ruach of understanding. And he shall pour out wise sentences and give thanks unto Yahuwah in his prayer. That's why I preach and say things the way I say them, because I want to shake you. I want to be your Joe Clark. I need to do some of y'all like Sam's. Instead of being like smoke crack, don't you be like, you're being a pagan, aren't you? You representing these holidays, aren't you? You in the wrong calendar, aren't you? That's what I need to do with some of y'all. Joe Clark you. Because time is drawing near. I know I know some of us who are already waking for a period of time, you get impatient because you want things to just happen. Like once you, it's funny because once you wake up and you follow these laws and you go through like a good month, a good 3 or 4 months, no sins, no transgressions, no quenching your spirit, you feel good. You're like, man, all right, now let's, I wait all for all this thing to fall down. I want it to fall down now. And then you lose patience because the worst thing you do, you don't want to quench your spirit, and you don't want to end up, you know, ignorantly or knowingly transgress the Torah, because then you are fearful of now you got to start over from ground zero, and then you get impatient from that point and be like, oh, why am I doing this for? If all I'm going to feel, I'm going to keep going back and forth, feeling, you know, emotionally drained or in a lower state every time I mess up, and I want to move forward with my life. I want to get somewhere with my life. I want to be in a separate place where I'm at peace with my life. I get it. I really do. I get it. But this is just where we are right now. It's frustrating. I know. Especially if those who are trying to maintain or manage relationships during this period. It's going to be frustrating. Especially you guys who have partners who aren't, when you're not equally yoked to each other, which means you're not really serving the Most High. So serving the Most High in a relationship actually does quell a lot of the arguments that you may have with each other. And the only reason why you have these arguments or things are uneven because one is awakened and one is not. One is starting to come out of it and one isn't. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like one of you are awakened and you know the Torah, you know that, and you want to teach it, and then you have a partner who really isn't into it yet. So you guys must have arguments or you have disagreements and you don't know how to settle them because you're trying to provide, protect, and love your partner the way the Most High has given you these law, statutes, commandments to do so. And if that person can't see that, because that person, like I said before, aren't taking accountability for their past actions, so they're in a relationship with you trying to heal, but don't see the value or don't see really the blessings that will come to them if they jump over and just worship the Most High. By worshiping the Most High, you are provided a covering. You're provided a hedge. And then the arguments go away. I mean, they'll never go away, but I'm saying you won't argue as bad as you used to. It wouldn't be, oh, y'all not talking for 2 or 3 weeks or talking for 2 or 3 months. Now you're like, all right, let's work this out. Let's pray about this. And it's 24 hours that you come back and you handle things. But like I said, it all comes down to the rituals of Easter. This whole week, Easter weekend, it's going to extend beyond that too. It's going to extend beyond this weekend because that's what they do. They wanted to ritualize America as much as possible. This is not in practicing Christianity, Christian society. It's not. The foundations of this society is rooted in Freemasonry and Luciferianism. So you're picking your partners based on what you unknowingly are. You're picking your partners, you're handling situations in your life, and you're moving around and making your moves in the society, not based on your principles, not based on your spiritual and understanding. It's based on what they tell you and what they allow you to do. They set this system up to make you think you got options and choices through them when you don't. All they're doing is steering you from one side back to the other side. It may just take you longer to go back over there, but they're going to set it up for you to go this left, make two rights, make two lefts again, and you right back where and right back where they want you, and you'd be like, oh, I'm in a new place. I'm a new me now. It doesn't work that way. I said before, you cannot learn the system and use this system to beat the system. It's not set up for you to do that. And when you try to do it, you become a ritual. And more you follow these celebrities, you follow in a ritual. The more you idolize in your flesh, you're idolizing based on social media and all the, you know, the porn and things y'all look at, all those models, half-naked models and all that, you setting yourself up for failure. Women, when you see all these men working out, they're always posting with their shirts off, doing 100 different variations of the bench press, which I thought all you had to do was sit down, lay down, and go up and two. I seen dudes do jumping jacks, kickstands, and the huckabuck and the shuckabuck doing bench press. And then they take a picture with their shirts off and think, oh, this is how you get it. As if people don't know how by now to work out. But it's 100 million one of those pages out there. And you're letting that mess up your image of what your partner should be. Because they're not giving you scripture. They're not helping you learn anything. They're not trying to, you know, build a hedge up about you. They're using you to glorify themselves. This is what everybody's doing now. Using each other to glorify themselves. And you're making these decisions based on your flesh. And it ends up with you being ritualized. You're ritualizing yourself. You're fattening yourself up for the feast. When everybody's sins and rituals come to a head, when the Most High told you this is the way you should walk, but you choose to be a child of disobedience, and the more you go down that road, the more you dull your senses, the more you dull your spirituality, you run right into judgment. You run right into them. And all they're doing is looking, like it says, that Satan walks around as a lion prowling, looking for somebody to devour. That's all they do. They sit around and wait to see who's so filled up with sins throughout their entire lives, without truth, without understanding, so they can remove them off this place. And then use their life as a ritual like Jesus Christ. Oh, he died. He's our only begotten son. That's why we killed him. And they don't tell you it's because we sacrificing those who follow our lifestyle, that follow our paganism, that follow our rituals, that follow our celebrities. These are the ones that we can touch because they're worshiping us. So if I'm a god and you worship my gods and me, I should be able to sacrifice you and then tell whatever story I want to tell about you so more people could be like you to worship me harder. That's what they do. That's what they do with these celebrities. And this mindset is chewing you guys' relationships up with each other. Or it doesn't matter, either romantically, in your workplace, or with your families. This should be a great time to do what they call spring cleaning. This should be a great time for y'all to do spring cleaning. That means with your relationships and letting go of things that are not that are holding you back from your blessings. You're allowing friendships, stale friendships. They're not going to go anywhere. They're not going to teach you anything. But you're staying in that comfortable space because you're so scared to let go and think that the other side that's waiting for you to be blessed is going to abandon you. You have already tried to do it your way and failed. Accept it. Be accountable for that. Say, I made this decision based on my ignorance, based on my flesh and not in the spirit. Now I'm ready to walk in a different light. Now I want the Most High to groom me and get me prepared. To mold me as clay. Get me in a position where I can see the light, where I can be a better partner to whoever I'm coming in contact with. How can I be a better friend, a better brother, a better sister, a better father, a better uncle, whatever. Get me prepared to be this, to receive the blessings. It's easy to do that. It should be easy to walk through that door. But most of you are still stuck in my old life. If I leave, what are they going to do without me? Am I going to be replaced? I don't want to leave. My friends need me. It's comfortable over here. I like my little box. I like it over here. No one has to point out what I did was wrong. I don't have to accept that. I can just say, hey, it was their fault, and just sit here. As long as I sit here and I got away from what was their fault, then I can stay in a position of not growing. Because I'm scared that somebody's going to point out my flaws. I'm scared that somebody's going to shed light into my wound. I'm afraid somebody's going to see my scars if I try to move from out of this box. And in this box, I'm perfect. In this box, nothing's my fault. In this box, I don't have to change. I'm not required to while this is in my box. But I'm telling you, all you're doing is stagnating and stifling your own blessings. Because what you could just step and put your pinky toe outside that box, you've been shown that you can be blessed. You have shown that if you come on out, if you move on out of your box, move on out of this matrix and system, I'm going to bless you. I've seen your progress. I'm gonna bless you for that progress to keep you going. So then you develop a thirst. Once you get that little bit of blessing, you develop a thirst for it. You're like, oh, cool, this feels good now. Now I can put both feet out of the box. Now I can walk. Now I may stumble, I may slip. I may get turned around, my GPS may be a little off, but I'm still walking forward. And then after you actually reach a level or a stage of your blessings and your understanding and you're rooted in wisdom, then you could look back and laugh and joke about all the things and decision makings you made while you were in your flesh. This is the reason why I don't talk. I stopped talking about my past issues when I start laughing and making jokes out of them. That means I'm already healed. That's what you should understand. Once you talk about it, once you stop being afraid of your mistakes and be accountable, then you start talking about it and sharing your story. But once you start joking and laughing about things that you did, obviously you hurt yourself and it's sinful and you should be ashamed. But once you start laughing and kind of making jokes of it, you're healed. Shut up talking about it. You're healed. That's why I stopped talking about my past. Once I start going down my crazy nights and laughing and say, oh, I did this. Other times, I would have been ashamed. Before I found the Most High, I was ashamed for people to see my scars. I was in a hole. I was in a box. I was scared somebody was going to ever bring my past up, and I didn't know how to be accepted because I wasn't accepted. Well, I know I wasn't accountable for the decisions I made. I was always making excuses. Oh, well, I didn't do it that hard. Well, you know, they tripped and fell. Like, oh, they came to my house unannounced. I made mistakes. I wasn't accountable for my actions. I wanted people to protect me from me, but I wanted them to not accuse me. And I'm telling you, the Most High will rip up that theology on you. You can either learn it in a day, or he'll use 30 years of your life to get you to understand that point. And I had to waste 10 to 20 years to understand that point. I started being accountable of how I drew people into me, and I drew exactly what I got. I was around fatherless children. I was around people who always wanted something. I was around people who wanted to be with me and love me because of their lust, and I allowed them to gravitate to me. And then I allowed my own emotions to take control of the situation, and it would get out of hand. But once I started being accountable for that and got myself out of that box little by little, I mean, the Most High had to drag me out of that box with my hand clenching it because I was so comfortable doing what I was doing. Like, I don't think you understand. Like, I was good taking about 4 or 5 ecstasy pills a day for the 4 or 5 months and then having fornicating sex with everything and everything. Just for that, I was perfect for where I was. I didn't have to see nothing. I didn't have to know what a Freemason was, a black and white towel, checkerboard floors, or OK symbol, and all this different weird stuff that I point out now. I was good in this box. And the Most High pulled me out of it, because the one thing I struggle with in frustration is once I got pulled out this box and once I shown the blessings, I expect everybody I come in contact with to be on my level. So now I'm learning patience. I'm learning patience and spirit. And that's always been a struggle for mine. I always bring up this metaphor, and then I close it out. I always bring up this metaphor when when Paul went to the Most High and said, hey, can you take this thing out of my hip? He's like, no, my, you know, this is proving a point for me. This, you doing a service by keeping that thing at your hip, that thorn in your side. And whatever your thorn in your side is, you have to ride with that thorn in your side, because it helps you be humble. It helps you put things in perspective. But it should come from a place where you want to lead this system, this society. Walk in the light. Walk in these laws. Walk in the narrow way. There's no sense of being afraid. You already did it and failed your way. Try a new way. And watch, he won't forsake you for putting that pinky toe on the floor. I'll see y'all next time.